From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Jen Jarecki. It's Friday, June 24th. Here are today's headlines.
An environmental nonprofit is suing the state over how it regulates the city of Rutland's wastewater treatment facility. In Rutland, like other Vermont towns, water that runs off the street and into city drains goes to a wastewater treatment facility, and on a sunny day, it gets treated along with sewage before it's released back into local waterways. But during heavy rainstorms, the sewer system gets too full, and that means raw sewage sometimes gets released into Otter Creek. Under state law, wastewater treatment plants must have a plan for how to cut back on those overflows. The nonprofit Vermont Natural Resources Council is suing, saying Rutland's plan needs to be spelled out in its federal permit. State regulators say they're regulating Rutland the same way they do other towns. VNRC next has to file a list of its specific grievances with the court.
This weekend, the Pride Center of Vermont will unveil a historic marker commemorating the state's first LGBTQ Pride Parade. The marker will be in Burlington City Hall Park, where the first Vermont Pride March took place. On June 25, 1983, back when Bernie Sanders was Burlington's mayor, over 300 people paraded through City Hall Park and Burlington's business district. Sanders signed a resolution marking the event Lesbian and Gay Pride Day. Laura Treishman is the state historic preservation officer.
We need to recognize the places where history happened and the fact that we're able to put the marker and have the dedication right in the same park where that event happened matters a lot.
The marker will be unveiled this Sunday. It's the third LGBTQ historic marker in Vermont.
Five farmers markets around the state are participating in a program intended to make local produce more accessible for Vermonters. The Crop Cash program is for Vermonters who receive SNAP benefits. If they spend $10 in SNAP benefits at the farmers market, they receive $10 in crop cash to use on local fruits and vegetables. Joanna Doran with NOFA Vermont says the program prioritizes supporting local producers.
What we try to do is pair the food accessibility component with local food access and making sure that those dollars are being directed towards local farmers.
The Crop Cash program runs through the fall.
And a quick correction. Yesterday, we said that the health department reported nearly 800 COVID cases in the past week. The department later updated that number in its weekly surveillance report. There were actually just under 650 cases reported last week.
Coming up, how to keep a history. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Elizabeth Dow spends her days straddling the past, present, and future. She worked as a professor of archive science before retiring to Hardwick, where she's now president of the Town Historical Society. And in the inaugural installment in a series we're calling Summer School, Dow gave our co-host Anna Van Dyne a lesson in how to keep a history.
Oh, God. I hadn't looked at this.
Elizabeth Dow turns over a framed map of what is now the town of Hardwick. The map is the oldest document the town has. It was drawn in 1788, before Vermont was even a state. But it won't last much longer if it's kept in the frame. She tears brown paper off the back and eyes a piece of cardboard.
I mean, this is really badly done.
Elizabeth Dow, known to most people as Wiz, is an archivist. She has cropped gray hair, keen eyes, and capable hands. A former professor of archive science, the 79-year-old now volunteers her time at the Hardwick Historical Society. She spent the past several years managing and growing an archive and small museum housed in what used to be the town's train depot. It's got everything from an antique fire hose to 130 years of local newspapers.
Historical societies basically collect two types of stuff. Flat stuff, papers, pictures, that sort of thing, and three-dimensional stuff, artifacts.
Once that map is removed from the frame, it'll be kept in a folder, in a drawer, in a climate-controlled room, and survive for generations to come. Wiz says the job of an archivist is to collect and take care of the materials that document our lives and the lives of the people before us, so that we know where we've come from and why we are the way we are. In a place like Hardwick, knowing this history can make you feel like you belong. Wiz can look at the laundromat and know there was once a three-story building there. She can see the ghost of a dam that was in the river for 200 years.
One of the reasons that old friends are so comfortable is because you have a history together. The same thing with the community.
But it's not just towns that have histories. We all have histories of our own, made up of stories that live in photographs and notebooks and cards and keepsakes. For the most part, Wiz is sparing with what she keeps. She has a box at home that holds letters and documents that mark milestones in her life. For instance, years ago, she printed out a series of emails between herself and a man she would later marry, because over the course of that correspondence, they fell in love. Then, in 2014, he was diagnosed with cancer, and 6 months later, he died. After such a difficult period, she wasn't sure what was real anymore, so she turned to that stack of printed emails.
And it was very, very healing. It restored what it confirmed what I thought I had known was true, that in fact it was true.
So if you're cleaning out your attic or moving and going through papers, you might find yourself wanting to try your hand at keeping a history. For amateur archivists of all kinds, Wiz has a few tips. Step one, decide what to keep. This is the hardest part. Wiz has written a whole book about it.
Don't throw away anything until you're emotionally ready to do it.
Duplicates are probably unnecessary. Keep the stubs, toss the checks.
Keep the stuff that has a history, that has a story, but keep the story with it.
There's no point in keeping pictures if you don't know who the people are.
It's important to keep the bad as well as the good.
In fact, she says there is no good and bad. It's all stuff that happened, and it's all part of the story. Once you've decided what to keep, step two is finding a safe place to put it. Wiz says don't keep it in the attic and don't put it in the cellar. Keep it somewhere dark with a relatively stable temperature and humidity level. Closets are pretty good.
You of the digital generation, if you really want to keep it, make an analog version of it. Print it out. You can put it in the cool, put it in a box in the dark, and it will be here 300 years from now.
Once you know what you're keeping and where you're going to put it, step three is to take inventory. Make a list that anyone can understand.
It all comes down to knowing what you have and where you have it.
Because if you do, stories can stay alive. After Wiz reread those emails between her and her husband, she sent them to the University of South Carolina, where he used to teach. So if you want to read their love story, it's there, in the archives. And if you want to keep your own history, now you know how. For Vermont Public, I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And speaking of history, we'll end the week again by dipping into the archives of the Vermont Folklife Center. Today, we'll hear from Guy Livingston of Faiston, who was interviewed by the Folklife Center in 1994. He grew up in an Irish family, and when he wasn't farming or working for a local lumber company, he wrote and sang songs, including this one he says he learned from his great uncle.
Oh, he hitched up his pig and he hitched up his cow. On the Devonny me rolly, he hitched up his gig and he hitched up his cow. On the Devonny me rolly, he hitched up his pig and he hitched up his cow. And he ploughed up his land and the devil knows how. With a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg. On the Devonny me rolly, the devil he came along one day. On the Devonny me rolly, the devil he came along one day. On the Devonny me rolly, the devil he came along one day. Said to come to take your son away. With a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg. Out of the Bonnie Rolly, pray Mr. Devil don't take my son.
Guy Livingston died in 2003. He was 85 years old. His full interview is archived online at vermontfolklifecenter.org.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles, Marlon Hyde, and Joya Putnoy. And special thanks to Mary Wesley at the Vermont Folklife Center. Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Jen Jarecki.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.
It's all a me tale to have to tell. On a deep on me, Raleigh, it's all of me tale that I have to tell. On a deep on me, Raleigh, it's all of my tale I have to tell. She killed 19 devils and conquered hell with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg. On a deep on me, Raleigh. I guess that's it.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.